Almighty God, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, you are here in our midst, and we ask, Lord, that truly you speak to us through your word, that we can hear you and obey you and love you with all our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very warm. Good afternoon to all of you. Today we continue with the sermon series on the book of James. Today we're on James chapter 4. Verses 1 to 10. The sermon notes are in your bulletin. This passage from James 4 speaks of the need to be fully submitted to God. Can we see the first slide, please? Fully submitted to God. Why do we need to be fully submitted to God? Firstly, because it pleases God. That's a very good reason. It pleases God. And then from a personal point of view, even if we don't understand it now, pleasing God is actually the best thing that we can do for ourselves. Being fully submitted to Him is good for us personally. You know, we're very careful to take care of ourselves, right? We eat the right kind of food. We seek the right kind of medical treatment. But really, if we want to do what is best for ourselves, we need to be fully submitted to Him. And James shows us how. Next slide, please. Two things that we can do. The first one, next slide, please. The first one is be holy. Be holy. James chapter 4, verse 4. Next slide, please. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Next slide. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In these verses, James has just said something very shocking. You all don't look very shocked, but really, you should be shocked because, in fact, he has insulted you. He has called you adulterers. Adulterers, a very big insult. Are we adulterers? You say, no, I'm not an adulterer. Well, maybe in the literal sense, we are not adulterers. We don't have what the world calls extramarital affairs. We don't have. So in that sense, we are not adulterers. But in the spiritual sense, are we? Are we adulterers? You remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites were guilty of worshiping a god named Baal. Next slide, please. Baal. Baal was the god that the Israelites chose to worship instead of Yahweh. Yahweh being the true God of Israel and the true God of the whole world. And yet the Israelites were guilty of worshiping Baal. And of course, it brought on the judgment of God, the wrath of God. Have we ever been guilty of worshiping Baal? You say, no, of course not. Never in my life have I even once worshipped Baal. Really? You'll be surprised. Do you know that in Hebrew, Baal can mean two things? In Hebrew, Baal can mean master, or it can also mean husband. And so in this sense, if something controls us so much that it becomes our master, then we are guilty of worshipping Baal. Or, if we love something so much, it has first place in our heart instead of God. This thing has first place in our heart. Then it becomes like a husband to us. Then we are guilty of worshipping Baal. And of course, you know, I'm not talking about literal husbands. It is good and right for wives to love their literal husbands. But here in the spiritual sense, we're talking about something that takes the place of God in our hearts. That becomes our Baal. And so James says, the first shocking thing, we are adulterers. The second shocking thing he says, let's see the next slide. James 4, verse 4. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you know why this is shocking? It's shocking to me because the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. And what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for the world. So if God loved the world that much, how is it James can say we cannot be friends with the world? And the answer is there are two different meanings of the word world. Firstly, God so loved the world, meaning the people of the world. And in this sense, yes, we too must love non-Christians. We must have friends who are non-Christians. I hope you have not just Christian friends, but also non-Christian friends. Be friends with them, love them. That's good. But there's another sense of the word world. And this is where James says, do not be friends with the world. In the sense, do not take on all of the world's values, the world's system of what is right, what is important. Don't take on all those values. How does the world operate? Well, James tells us, can we see the next slide? James 4, verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. This is the way of the world. You want something? Fight for it. You don't get it? Fight some more. Make sure you win. Are we like that? You say, no, we're Christians. We are not like that. On the outward side, outwardly, we may look like Christians. We do the right things. We come to church. We read the Bible sometimes. We pray. We even pray sometimes. But if someone were to take a spiritual x-ray of our heart, what would he see? Would he see the world inside our heart? Or would he see the kingdom of God? Next slide. You remember in the Old Testament, the story of Moses and the Israelites. They were in bondage in Egypt. Terrible suffering, terrible bondage under Pharaoh. But God saved them, miracle after miracle. God saved them and brought them out of Egypt. But even when they came out of Egypt, the Israelites were still not happy. Why? Physically, they had come out of Egypt. But spiritually, Egypt was still in their hearts. Still in their hearts. Next slide, please. Do you know why I put this slide up? It's a fish. It's a delicious, crispy fish, which I wouldn't mind having for dinner. Do you know why I put this slide up? This is what the Israelites were dreaming of. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 says that they craved the fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic of Egypt. Physically, they were out of Egypt, but spiritually, emotionally, Egypt was still in their hearts. In other words, they were still friends with the world. And what did Jesus have to say about this? Concerning his disciples, concerning us too, this is what Jesus said. Next slide, please. John 17, 16. Jesus said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Speaking about us also. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We are not to have the world in our hearts. We are to have the kingdom of God in our hearts. This is how we can be holy. You know, it's a sad thing that some Christians think, if I can pray, I will be holy. Do you know it's sad that Christians can pray and still not be holy? Well, that's what James says. Please look at the next slide. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Some Christians pray, but God doesn't answer. And the reason God doesn't answer, James says, is because they ask with the wrong motives, to spend on their own passions. Some Christians say, God loves me, therefore, he will give me everything I ask for. Do you agree? I don't. I say it's true, God loves us, but it's not true. Therefore, he will give us everything we ask for. Not true. I remember when I was a teenager, many years ago, one year my mother asked me, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I said, "A knife." I think my poor mother was very shocked. A knife? She must have been thinking, "Why do you want a knife? Do you want to kill someone? Do you want to kill yourself?" And so my mother asked me, "Why do you want a knife?" And I said to her, "I just want a knife." So that probably shocked her even more. And she said, "Bad idea, bad idea." You know, the truth is, I didn't even know why I wanted a knife. To this day, I don't even know why I wanted a knife. I was just a teenager going through a rough patch. And so my mother thought to herself, "Bad idea, no knife." And she said to me, "Choose again." So this time I chose a softball glove. Next slide, please. Are you familiar with softball? It's the soft version of baseball. Well, that's why it's called softball. The soft version of baseball. I was in the school softball team. And you know, when you play softball, you must wear a glove. Because if you don't, and you try to catch a ball without a glove, you try to catch it with your bare hand, I think your hand will break. Because the ball comes at a terrific speed, very, very fast, very powerful. If you catch it with your bare hand, you will break your hand. So you must have a glove. Our school provided gloves for us, but the school gloves were dirty, smelly, sweaty. And so I said to my mother, "I want my own glove." And you know, immediately my mother agreed. And she bought me this glove. I still remember it. It's golden brown in color. It was beautiful. And the smell, oh, I remember the smell. It's the smell of new leather. I loved that glove so much. And with it, I played many good softball games. The point of the story, God loves us, therefore He will give us everything we ask for? No, no. God loves us, therefore He will not give us everything we ask for, if it's something bad. But if it's something good, He will gladly give it to us. Recently, we had a retreat in Ipoh. Some of you were there. It was a joint retreat, 7 a.m., 5 p.m., 7:30 p.m. And praise God, it was a very good retreat. The sessions were very anointed, and the Holy Spirit was moving very powerfully. There was one night after the session, Daisy Tai stayed back. Now, Daisy Tai, some of you know her. She's a 5 p.m. member. She stayed back to talk to Clement Wong. Clement was the speaker of the retreat, and he's also the brother of our vicar. In fact, he's speaking tonight at the 7:30 service. So Daisy stayed back, and she spoke to Clement. Daisy wanted directions to go to a certain place in Ipoh. And since Clement is from Ipoh, he was the right person to ask. So she asked him for directions. He gave her directions. And then he said, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you now." So right there on the spot, he prayed for her. And guess what he prayed? Something totally unrelated. Nothing about directions. But he prayed for her to have good sleep. Good sleep at night. And Daisy was totally shocked when he prayed this, because she never told him that she really has a sleeping problem. At that time, it had been going on for about 3 to 6 months already. She couldn't sleep well. In 1 week, she would sleep well maybe only two nights. Just two nights out of seven, she would sleep well. And on the other nights, she would sleep maybe only 3 to 4 hours. Really not good sleep. And so she looked at Clement and she said, "How come you know I don't sleep well?" He didn't answer. He didn't answer. But obviously the Holy Spirit told him, gave him knowledge. This is what you must pray for. Pray for her to sleep well. And praise God, that night she really slept well. In fact, she's been sleeping very well ever since, except for the last few days when she came down with a very bad cold. God loves us. Will He give us everything we want when we pray? No, if it's bad, But yes, if it's good. Next slide, please. To be fully submitted to God. Firstly, we need to be holy. And second, we need to be humble. We need to be humble. James 4, verse 10. Next slide, please. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Being humble is such an important part of being submitted to God. If we are not humble, the opposite, we're not humble, we're proud, then we'll be thinking we know better than everyone else. We know the answers to all the problems. We will make our own decisions. We will do whatever we want. Obviously, if we are not humble, we cannot be submitted to God. And the Bible says that the great heroes of faith, they were very humble people. Numbers 12, verse 3 says that Moses was the most humble man on earth. The most humble man on earth? Do you know who Moses was? Moses was not, as we say, a nobody. Moses was really a great man in the world. Moses performed miracle after miracle under the anointing of God. Moses lifted up his staff and the sea literally parted. Such a tremendous miracle. Moses had everything to boast about, but he didn't. The Bible says Moses was the most humble man on earth. And because Moses was so humble, God was able to use him to bring the people out of slavery, out of Egypt. Moses, Jesus, the Son of God, also a man of humility. Next slide, please. Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Did Jesus have reason to boast? Every reason to boast. He was the Son of God. He turned water into wine. He made blind eyes see. He made the lame walk. He made the deaf hear. He even raised the dead back to life. Jesus had every reason to boast, but he didn't. He was humble. Just as Moses, just as Jesus were humble, so too, James says, we must be humble. And you know, God is so good. He gives us a reward just for being humble. Next slide, James 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is our reward if we're humble. We get grace. But you say, what is grace? Well, actually, there are many different meanings of grace. Before you eat food, you say grace, right? In other words, you give thanks for the food. You say grace. Grace is also a very popular girl's name. And if ever you meet the Archbishop, you may call him Your Grace. Many different meanings of the word grace. But the biblical meaning of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor means you don't deserve it. But God just wants to bless you. You don't deserve anything, but God wants to give you all His goodness. This is the meaning of unmerited favor. This is the meaning of grace. Just because we are humble, God will bless us. He'll give to us grace. Amen. You know, in conclusion, I want to tell you why this topic, being fully submitted to God, it means a lot to me personally. I want to tell you why. At the end of last year, I was very sick. I was coughing very badly. My cough sounded very deep, like a very deep tunnel. I think maybe deeper than the MRT. It was really a very, very deep cough. And I was breathless. I walked just a few steps, and then I had to stop and catch my breath. I was totally breathless. The doctor diagnosed it as pneumonia and warded me. By the grace of God, and with the help of many people praying, and good doctors. Praise God. By God's grace, I was healed. I recovered from pneumonia, and I was discharged from hospital. One day, after I was discharged from hospital, I went back to the clinic for a checkup. When I was in the clinic, I met a friend. Next slide, please. The name of the friend I met was Lim Min. Lim Min is that lady on the left in the striped clothes. She is the author of a book about Reverend Tam Kee. Reverend Tam Kee is the Myanmar priest who died and went to heaven and met Jesus, and then Jesus brought him back to life and he came back to earth. And God has been using Reverend Tam Kee with tremendous miracles in many countries. So, Lim Min met me at the clinic, and of course she said, "What are you doing here?" So I told her I had pneumonia, and she was concerned. And it just so happened that at that time, Reverend Tam Kee was in Singapore. And so Lim Min told him that I had pneumonia. And Tam Kee said that he wants to pray with me. And I was so touched that he actually came down to Cathedral one day, weekday, to pray for me. You know, Reverend Tam Kee is a man I respect very deeply. He's a great man of God, and I respect him very much. The problem is, we can't really communicate because I cannot speak his Myanmar language and he can't speak English. The best English he can come up with is, "Good morning, Pastor Jun," and that's the only English he can say. But there are times in the past, and he would come to our church before to preach. There were times where I would just look at him and I would feel I want to talk to him. And I would feel that he also wants to talk to me. But we couldn't communicate. Not in Myanmar, not in English. So we spoke in Hebrew. Yes, Hebrew. He would say to me, "Hallelujah." And I would respond with, "Hallelujah." And then he would say, "Hallelujah." And that was our conversation. But this time when Reverend Tam Kee came to church, especially to pray for me because I had pneumonia, this time I had a very deep burning question in my heart. And I wanted to ask him. And praise God, his son, Kitam was present. And Kitam speaks English. So Kitam was our translator. And this was my question. I said, "Reverend Tam Kee, I really believe revival is coming very soon. And I really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit more and more every day. Can you please tell me how to be filled with the Holy Spirit more and more every day?" And I expected Reverend Tam Kee to say things like, "Read your Bible more," or "Pray more," "Pray in tongues more." I expected him to say all of these things, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit more every day, then be fully submitted to God. Be fully submitted to God. Everything that the Holy Spirit tells you, you just do it, obey it. And in this way, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit more every day." Amen. Since then, I've been hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to me more. It's like not loud thunder, a still small voice. You hear it, you know. After a while you recognize, you know, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is why this topic, being fully submitted to God, it means so much to me. I pray it will touch you also. Let us close our eyes. Let's come before the Lord. Let's spend some time, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Some of us here have never heard the Holy Spirit speaking to us, but you want to hear His voice. If that's you this evening, can you raise your hand? You've never heard the Holy Spirit's voice, but you want to hear Him. Will you raise your hand? Yes, yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Some of us, we want to get our hearts right with God because we know that the world is so much in us. But we don't want the world in our heart. We want the kingdom of God in our heart. And we want all these things of the world, the fighting, the anger, the jealousy, the hatred. We want to get rid of all these things. And we want to say, Lord, today, will you help me to change my heart? If that's you, will you also raise your hand? Amen. Anyone else? Hallelujah. And there are some of us who want more of the Holy Spirit. Fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Fresh oil. More of the Holy Spirit in our life. If this is you, will you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, thank you. You love us so much, Lord. Thank you that you love us and truly you desire to give to us even what we don't deserve. We don't deserve because we're not good enough. But you give to us more grace. You give to us more unmerited favor. Lord, I ask that you see the hands that were raised and you see the cry in everyone's heart, Lord. And Father, that you would answer. You would answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. After the service, I invite those of you who raise your hands, and even if you didn't, but you would like prayer for any need, invite you to come forward to the front after the service. Ministry team will be here. We will pray with you. Amen. Let's continue now, please, with the benediction. Let's, we say the benediction together. Shall we stand, please? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Praise God.
We have come to the end of this service. The Lord is good, and may His word from the sermons of reading fill our hearts and minds in the week ahead as we meditate on them. Those who want or need prayer, please do come to the communion altar rails after the service.